Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing? Good. My name is Richard. I serve as one of the pastors here at Bethel. Thank you guys so much again for coming this morning. We've been in a series called The New Testament Challenge. If you have not been with us, we as a church have been reading through the New Testament of the Bible. And if you have not joined us so far, today's a great day to join us. We actually have created a Facebook page just so that we can go along as a church family and do this together. And what we've had is close to a couple of hundred people that are following and reading along with us. They're making their comments, their thoughts, things that they may be getting out of reading the Bible, and also questions that they have about the Bible. They're going to this Facebook page and really encouraging each other. So if you haven't been a part of that, really suggest that you do that. Go to our Facebook page at Bethel. And then the top thing that you see will be the New Testament Challenge. So you can join in there. Today, we're actually going to talk about a very, could be very sensitive topic today. It's something that a lot of churches don't talk about. A matter of fact, it's an issue that most people don't talk about at all. So I probably won't have a lot of jokes for you today. I probably won't have a lot of stories about me almost drowning in the swimming pool yesterday. Pastor Lance, as I went down this, I went down a slide into the swimming pool. I've never done that before. I don't need to do that anymore. That wasn't very fun as it looked. But so we're going to talk about something today. And really, to be very honest and transparent with you today, this is a very passionate topic for me. And it's also something that we need to take a look at. Why is it not discussed? Why is it not talked about? And it's really because the world has pretty much said everything that I'm about to tell you about is okay, but the Word of God has something very different to say about it. It's also something that can cause a lot of shame and a lot of guilt in your life that can last for decades. But as we just sung a song, Jesus is bigger than that, isn't he? Jesus is bigger than our problems. Jesus is bigger than our shame. Jesus is bigger than our guilt. Jesus is bigger than our sin. So I don't know where you've been or what you've been doing or how long ago it was that you may have found yourself in a similar situation. Jesus is bigger than that. And there is grace, there is mercy, there is healing, and today is a good day for freedom. Somebody say amen. Pastor Lance, I just thought about this. We're too close for Independence Day for people to be in bondage. We need to be set free. Matter of fact, speaking of freedom, this is a little bit off topic, but around 1864, I believe it was January 1st, Abraham Lincoln signed the Emancipation Proclamation that freed the slaves. But it was around June of that year or the next year that Texas had gotten word. And there were these slaves that had been freed legally but had no idea that they had really been set free. And word didn't get to them till about a year later. And I believe today that there are people in bondage that could be set free today. Jesus freed you 2,000 years ago, but you need to receive the message of the gospel today. And you can walk away free from shame, free from guilt in Jesus' name. Now, we're going to talk about the issue of life today and how God can use a life and how he has a purpose for every life under the sun. And really, the fact that he has given us life is a gift from God himself. It's a gift from him. The Bible says that God is the originator and the initiator of life. In Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says that the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Or some translations say a living soul. And it is a gift that we have from God. And God has a funny way of doing things. He gives us life so that we can give it back to him again. Jesus made it so clear in Mark chapter 8. He said, whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. I wanted to tell you a short little story as we begin. God has blessed me with some very talented friends in my life. One of my good friends is Pastor Ron David Moore. I've known him for a long time, and some of you guys might know him, and some of you may not know how extremely gifted and talented this man is. He has several gold records. He used to write songs for country music artists, had a great career as a Christian musician, and he's here with us in Clarksville. In 1991, he wrote created an album, and one of the songs on this album was called Secret Scars. Secret Scars. And he wrote this song really to help his wife, but his wife, Miss Nancy, before they were married, she had gotten into a relationship years before with a young man, and the result was a pregnancy that was aborted. And she dealt with shame and guilt and I'm sure many other things. And she told Pastor Ron before they were married that this had happened. And as a result, he wrote this song called Secret Scars. And really, secret scars represent those places in our life, those dark moments, those things that could be so shameful, that bring so much guilt, so much heartache that no one knows about them. It could be an abortion. It could be an issue with pornography. It could be an adultery. It could be an abusive situation as a child. But these secret scars, he wrote this song about because he realized that God could offer forgiveness and grace and mercy in the midst of the darkness of our lives. Somebody say amen. Amen. But the hard thing to realize is that, does God really forgive us when we do something wrong? See, a lot of us, Pastor Lance, let me see your phone for a sec. Sam, it's iPhone 6 Plus. It's like $800. Don't throw that around. A lot of us like to do like this. We believe that God will forgive sins. And so we'll go to Jesus and we'll drop our sin off at the foot of the cross, walk away in freedom, great joy, great excitement. And then a week, a month, a year goes by, and then the enemy will remind us, and he will whisper to us. How many of you guys know that the enemy whispers to you? He whispers, you're not really saved. If you were really a child of God, you wouldn't really do that. Maybe the Bible's just a pack of lies. And what we do is we go and we pick up what we dropped off at the feet of Jesus. And the enemy would like to confuse us. But the Word of God is really clear. Can I read the Word of God a little bit to you to give you a little hope today about forgiveness and about how God wipes our sins away? The Bible says in the book of Psalm 103, verse 11 and 12, "For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards those who fear him." Here it is. "As far as the east is from the west." Who knows how far that is? That's a long way, isn't it? "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." When we become a child of God, we give our life to Jesus Christ, we can walk in the freedom and the newness of life. And Jesus has compassion on all of us. The Bible says in Mark chapter 8, verse 2, Jesus said, "I have compassion on the multitude," not just those who have been born, but also Jesus has compassion on the unborn as well. See, the secret scar I'm going to focus on today is that of abortion. And if we kept it really real, y'all like to keep it really real? So there's real and then there's really real. We cannot deny that in the United States of America, abortion is a huge problem. We generally don't talk about this because, by and large, since Roe v. Wade about 1973, our country has moved on and just considered this is just everyday life, and it's not just the United States. When you go around the world, this is just something that is natural, normal, and you are considered to be either politically incorrect or against women to discuss anything other than that. But I'm not concerned with being politically correct. I'm not really concerned about being on your Christmas wish list this year, but I hope I am. That would be nice. Nobody ever puts me on their wish list. Pastor Lance, you haven't bought me a Christmas present since I got here. Truth be told. But a recent statistic, just to tell you how big of an issue this is within our nation, says that 40% of women have or will go through, 40% of women will go through an abortion before they leave childbearing years. So if this has happened to you or you know someone that has gone through an abortion, they are not alone. But the enemy would like you to think that you cannot be forgiven from this, or that you are so alone or you're so vile. The truth is that the world system has been created really to make you believe that this is okay and natural. But God has another thing to say about that. See, the greater implication for all of this is that the reality of we are in a spiritual battle. See, as believers in Christ, I think we get so myopic, is that how you say it? Myopic, and we think that we're in this tunnel and that everything is just about us. My finances are jacked up, my marriage is jacked up, and we think that things are not connected to the rest of the world, but there is an enemy, and he does come to steal, kill, and destroy. See, this issue was something that wasn't on my radar as a believer in Christ until I met my wife, Shannon. And she started to tell me as a young girl, her parents would take her to these Right for Life rallies. And she started to tell me about how they stood up for life in the midst of her parents in the Roe v. Wade era. And she just simply said, go look up the information. And a couple of minutes with a hot chocolate or a coffee and Google, you'll find out everything that I'm about to tell you. And I realized very quickly, and I'm going to tell you a few statistics, but I heard that these statistics about African Americans, women who had had abortion, and I realized that the number one killer of African Americans, contrary to what the news media would want us to believe, is not gun violence. It's not cancer. It's not even heart disease. I want you to show that graphic of those statistics. The number one killer of African Americans is abortion, by and large. Since 1973, and this is an old stat, now to date, over 14 million African American babies have been aborted. And I'm going to focus a little bit on African American population, because it has been so rampant and so destructive within the population of African Americans, it is staggering the effects that it has had. Two out of every three black children are killed by abortion in the United States. About 1,200, now think about this. This is really sobering. So if you got drunk last night, you're okay. You're about to get real sober. We still accept people get drunk, Pastor Lance, don't we? It's okay. 1,200 African-American babies are killed by abortion in the United States every day. Every day. Every day. One of the main advocates, we're going to go through history just for a second, just to let you know, how did we get to this place? This didn't just happen by accident. It was actually designed and planned for a long period of time. One of the main advocates that led to the situation that we're in now is from a woman named Margaret Sanger. You may have heard of her from high school, or if you went to college and you studied sociology or social work, her name most likely came up here or there. She was part of a movement back around the 30s called eugenics. Eugenics was a movement whose main purpose was population control around the world. She's also known as the founder of Planned Parenthood. So when I talk about this today, I want you to know it's not just black baby lives that matter. White baby lives matter. Brown baby lives matter. Asian baby lives matter. All baby lives matter to God. And we have a duty to speak up for those that can't speak for themselves. Somebody say amen to that. to me, that's when the marquee characteristics of a man is to speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. In Proverbs 31, verse 8, the Bible says, "Open your mouth for the speechless in the cause of all who are appointed to die." One of the things that Margaret Sanger was a part of was this thing called the Negro Project. Don't say that at the office. May not be cool there. But she was a part of this project called the Negro Project. And this is a quote that she wrote about it. This was a project that sought to bring birth control into African American and poor communities across the nation. She said, "We should hire 3 or 4 colored ministers, preferably with social service backgrounds and with engaging personalities." Basically, black pastors. "The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to go out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it occurs to any of their more rebellious members." I'm going to read just 2 or 3 more little quotes so you can get an idea of not just the history of where this comes from, but it was definitely a plan that has seen the fruit all the way into this generation. She also was reported of saying, "Birth control must lead ultimately to a cleaner race." Another thing she said was, "The most merciful thing that a large family can do for one of its infant members is to kill it." And lastly, and I'm so glad this was one of her goals that did not get achieved, she said, "No woman shall have the right to bear a child, and no man shall have the right to become a father without a permit." That was the goal. And this mission is still alive today. So don't get it twisted. What you see, Republicans and Democrats fighting around back and forth, it's bigger than that. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day." And the Bible goes about talking about the armor that we should put on as believers. And the last one is, "Hold up the sword of the Lord," which is the word of God. See, if we don't hold up the word of God today, we will be deceived. We will be confused. We will look at television and think that the commentators, they're just telling us the way it is. But until we hold up the Bible, somebody give a hand for the Bible. Until we hold up the word of God, we have no idea what God says about anything. And God has a lot to say about a lot, doesn't he? That's why we're talking about this today. There is an enemy. The Bible calls him a thief in John 10:10. Listen to his goal and compare this with some of the things that have been talked about with the abortion movement. "The thief comes not except but to steal, to kill, and to destroy." That's his MO, to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it more abundantly." There is light and there is dark. God is extremely clear about what he thinks about life, that he is the originator and the initiator of it. Just want to read one last scripture for you. In Psalm chapter 39, some people are confused about when life begins. God is not confused. The Bible actually says he is not the author of confusion. He knows exactly what he's doing. Psalm 131, verse 13 through 16, it says, this is the psalmist, he says that, "You made me," or "you made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous. How well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. See, we believe at Bethel in God's word. That's why we partner with a place called Hope Pregnancy Center. You may have seen the extremely large RV out front. Me and Pastor Lance are not planning this camping trip. No, that it's really a purpose behind it being here. We also have a guest with us today from Hope Pregnancy Center. Her name is Martha Sitzler. She serves as the executive director of Hope. One of my great pleasures in life is that I get to sit as the chair of the board of Hope Pregnancy Center. And many of us don't know how we can help. This problem is so big and so huge, and we wonder, how can we make a difference? You can get involved with Hope Pregnancy Center, and you can make a difference. I want to invite Martha up. Can you give Martha a big hand? Hope has been around Clarksville since 1987, and Martha's going to give us a little bit of information about Hope, their mission, and what we can do to help out today.
Amen. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be here with you again and just to worship with you and hear the word and hopefully to encourage you about what God is doing at Hope Pregnancy Center. For those of you who don't know, we are a medical pregnancy help center located right downtown on 2nd Street. We serve about 800 women and couples every year who come to us for pregnancy tests, peer counseling, limited ultrasound, baby clothes, maternity clothes, all kinds of things. We also see a number of women each year who come to us for healing after an abortion experience. Pastor Richard touched on that quite a bit, and I never want to miss the opportunity to talk about that before I tell you what's new at the center. We have a program called Hope for Healing, and what that is basically it's a Bible study that unpacks that abortion experience for women and for men. We have co-ed groups, we have groups that are just men, just women. We do one-on-one as well. And why we do that is because often as believers, we know intellectually that we're forgiven, but there's still this heaviness in our heart and in our spirit. And sometimes in the process of reaching out to embrace the forgiveness that is available to us, we have to lay some things down. We have to process some things and really invite the Holy Spirit in to do the work that only He can do. And this is a way that that can happen. So if that's you or someone you love, please, please don't hold on to that secret. Please don't bear that burden by yourself. The Lord never designed you to bear that for yourself. He wants to redeem that and restore you. And we would love to be a part of that. So just come see us or give us a call. We'll be happy to talk with you. Well, I mentioned that we serve about 800 women and couples at the center. I'm going to throw a few more numbers out there for you and then tell you what the Lord is compelling us to do as a result of those numbers. In Clarksville, Montgomery County, and the surrounding area, there are about 440 women every year who travel to Nashville or Memphis for an abortion. And that is a small number compared to a lot of communities, but I would submit to you that one is too many because of what happens to the person that goes through that experience. And so we feel like our mandate is to find them and to serve them and give them the opportunity to make a life-affirming decision, to choose life instead of choosing death. And so 440, we want to see that go down. Another way to look at that, just to give you a picture, for every 7 babies born in Montgomery County, there is an 8th baby that's lost to abortion. So if you look at a children's church classroom with 14 little guys in it, there's 2 missing. Kind of paints a picture. I'm sorry, I'm just getting that picture in my head, and it's making me sad. excuse me.
Yeah, take your time.
Okay, so those 800 women and couples that come to us, about half of them are abortion vulnerable. And when they come to the center and have an ultrasound, about 90% of them choose life. And that is so awesome. Yeah, amen. 90%. We believe now the Lord is calling us to go outside the four walls of Hope Pregnancy Center and go to the places where there are women who either can't get to us or don't know that they need us. They may not think, oh, I need to go downtown and get free services, but if they see the mobile unit, a medical mobile unit with a nurse and a client advocate on it, they will walk onto that bus. And they will be served with compassion. They'll receive a pregnancy test, counseling, and they'll have the opportunity to see their baby, and we believe bond with it and choose life with it, for it. I didn't share this story in first service. Is it okay that I'm talking this much? Okay. about 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, I had the opportunity at the center to observe an ultrasound. We always have a volunteer or a staff member go in with the nurse when we do an ultrasound, just to, if the nurse needs anything, just to be a witness and to pray. And I had the opportunity to do that, and I watched as a young couple with a six-month-old baby met their new baby on the ultrasound screen, and mom thought she was probably about 12 weeks. Turned out she was about 16 weeks, and she was shocked. She was very abortion-minded. And baby got fussy in the car seat, and I asked if I could pick up the baby, so I held the baby as I watched the parents, you know, receive this news. And when the scan was all done, I gave baby back to dad, and he sat there holding the baby, just looking down at the baby and shaking his head. And they left, and the nurse came in, and she said, we need to pray. She said, they're still really abortion-minded. And my heart sank, because we just think if they just see the baby, they're going to choose life, and that doesn't always happen. So they left, and about a month later, the nurse came in, and she said, I talked to him, and they're keeping the baby. And yeah, and I was so excited. I wrote a letter about it that month, and it occurred to me that it's not us, it's not what we do, it's what the Holy Spirit can do in that moment. Good. And what they take away from there. The Lord works in their hearts. And just this past week, I got a call from a client, not really knowing it was a client, asking, she was going for her first prenatal appointment, and they don't let you take a baby to your prenatal appointment, which I think is interesting. And she didn't know what to do. She couldn't find anywhere that would let her come with a baby. And she was, you know, farther along and needed to get prenatal care. And then it came out that she was a client. And I don't know, I was like, okay, so if somebody went with you and held your baby in the lobby, would that work? She's like, yeah, I think so. I was like, when's your appointment? 1:40 today. I was like, I'll be there. So I went, and I went in there, and I'm sitting with this beautiful baby, and I'm looking at this baby, and I'm thinking, I know this baby. And it was that baby that I held in the ultrasound room. And when mom came out, I was like, I was in your ultrasound, wasn't I? And she's like, oh my gosh, yes, you were. And she's so excited. She found out what she's having. She's already got a name picked out for the baby. And that family is whole because God used Hope. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So with the mobile unit, we are prepared to go where God is calling us to go. We are going to go out 3 days a week starting in September is our goal, September. We're getting training. We're getting our mobile unit ready. It's a used unit, so it needs some work. We've got to put a new wrap on it. We've got to fix the steps and get a bigger generator because it won't keep up with the Tennessee heat in the air conditioning unit. We are recruiting people to be involved in all kinds of ways, not just with the mobile, but in the center, from working with the girls that come in for baby clothes to talking to the couples that come in for counseling, to being part of our pit crew, because Martha isn't driving that big old bus. I'm terrified to drive that big old bus, but we know there are people that's their thing. They've always wanted to drive a motorhome. I got one. You can drive it, and you can take it and get, you know, dump the tanks and fill up the water and all that kind of stuff. So there are all kinds of opportunities. And additionally, doing ministry is expensive. It's hard and it's expensive. We are increasing our budget by $150,000 a year to do this, to go and to serve women where they are. And so there are lots of partnership opportunities with that. $150,000 looks like 250 families committing to an average of $50. Which might be a lot for some people, it's not a lot for others. We know the Lord is gonna do it in his way. $150,000 scares me, but it doesn't scare him. So if he's inspiring you to be a part of that, please let us know. And above all, just please pray with us. Yeah. God's doing big stuff, and we don't want to get in his way. So thanks.
That's good. Thank you, Martha. That's so good. So what she's really trying to say is hope is free. The RV is not. You know, one of the reasons I love Hope Pregnancy Center is not because they try to decrease the number of abortions and prevent them from happening, but also there's healing on the other side for those that have. And it's very rare that you find a place that addresses both of these things so beautifully. One of the ways we can help at Bethel is with this little thing. Now, if you've got one of these, just kind of hold it in the air and wave it like you just don't care. If you remember that from the club. Now, if you did not receive one of these, you can grab one at the connection point in the lobby. Just tell them you want one, and you can grab one. If you're really froggy, you can get two. And what we're asking is that you would take one of these. It gives you instructions on what to do with it. But very simply, it's take it, fill it up with change. Most of us have enough change in our console to fill one of these right now. And seriously, there would be thousands of dollars if you would just fill this up, and you can either drop it off at Hope Pregnancy Center, which the address is on here as well, or you can just bring it back to church, and we've got this box at the nursery where you can just drop it in there, and then we will take it to Hope. So there's really no excuse, and I don't say that lightly, there is no excuse from everyone, every family grabbing one of these and just take the change that we don't even like in our pockets, and it will go towards helping to prevent abortions, but it'll also go to helping to heal those that may have had abortions. And there's also other opportunities, as Martha has already spoken about. You can also, I don't think she mentioned this, after the service, if you would like to look at the mobile unit, walk around it, talk to Martha, ask any questions that you want, please do so. She will be there after the service. Pastor Lance, I want to ask if you would come up. I want to pray for everyone. If you could please stand. I know that as we discussed in the very beginning, this can be a very sensitive topic. You know, we talked about one stat that was about 40% of women will have an abortion before leaving childbearing age, and we never talk about it, the effects of it and how it affects us long term. But I just want to pray that God would begin the healing process today. Just as Pastor Ron wrote a song called Secret Scars, I pray that God would begin to move in the secret places of your heart, and he would begin to remind you that you are so loved. And in Christ, you are so forgiven. The Bible says as far as the east is from the west, but the reality is that you have to walk this out, but you are not alone. You are a part of a spiritual family who loves you, that wants to help you walk through this process. God called us to walk together. So, Father, I pray that you would come even now, that people would open their eyes and see how loving, how merciful, how graceful you are. That this is not a place of judgment, but this is a hospital for the hurting. Is a place where we come when we are weak, when we are weary, when we are full of guilt and shame. Not that we as church people can take it away, but we can remind you of who the healer is. Just as we sung earlier, Jesus is bigger. The name of Jesus is bigger than every problem that we have. Holy Spirit, come in this place like a mighty rushing wind and offer healing.
Yes, Lord. What we do, we just open ourselves up, sir. You know, if that is you, if you've gone through, whether it's this or a secret scar that you may have, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm just going to ask that you would invite that healing into your life now, that forgiveness God's a forgiving God. So, Lord, we just say thank you that you're a Father who loves us. And, God, forgive us for the things we've gotten ourselves into. Lord, some of us, Lord, it just happened. We were afraid. We thank you, Lord, that your forgiveness is real. We thank you that your peace is real. And, God, come and fill, Lord, every part of us that has been broken because of that secret scar, whatever it may be. And we receive healing and wholeness right now in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Your word said, who the Son sets free is free indeed. Yes. We say, guilt be gone. Shame be gone. In Jesus' name. You know, this issue that we've talked about today really is, it's tough to talk about. There's a tension, though, because as a church, you have to stand up on one end of it and speak for life. On the other end, you also have to be very gracious, very compassionate. And so please understand, when we talk about, and Pastor Richard talks about standing for the Bible, holding the Bible, we're not doing that in a very harsh or negative way. Because sometimes as Christians, we can come off like that. As believers, many times what we do is we begin to point the finger at sins we don't struggle with or things we haven't committed. And that's how we're perceived. And so as we stand up, we got to stand up for truth. We got to be like Jesus. Jesus, what? He was full of grace and truth.
That's right.
This is what we want to be. And so here we've been open and honest with you of the things in my life, things that we have walked through, where you can be open and honest about what you're going through. If you need help when it comes from a secret scar, we're here to help. Hope Pregnancy Center, I'm so proud of Martha. Pastor Richard Sermon is a chairman there on that board, standing up for life. We're here to help, not to be harsh or condemn you, but to help you because we know these things just don't go away. They don't go away. And some of us, maybe it's I've gone through this and I'm going to begin to push back and I'm going to get on that bus myself because they need volunteers. They need us to show up in these neighborhoods. I think this is awesome that they're not just relying on everybody to come. They're going to them on this bus. So maybe you've gone through this. Get yourself on that bus where you can go and be a testimony to whoever and say, hey, listen, no, I know you've got this, but you don't want to make this decision. You want to choose life because let me tell you my story and what I've gone through. Amen?
Amen.
They need partnership. And maybe God's speaking to be a monthly partner to help them with their budget. They need that. And my encouragement also is go outside and look at that RV. Walk around that thing. Sit in the captain's seat if you want to. Hold the steering wheel, whatever you want to do, just to get acquainted. But this is one of our ministry partners here in our community that we support. Listen, our prayer team is going to be standing down front. If you need prayer for anything, come on, you can come on down. There's power in prayer. They're here to stand with you in prayer. God bless you guys. Thank you guys so much for being here. If you're a guest, please come back. Hope to see you next week. You guys have a great week. You're dismissed.